This episode is sponsored in part by OmniSend. Do you sell stuff online? Then you need OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The powerful, yet refreshingly intuitive email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. That one's so good, it's almost boring. Like watching steady lines go up in charts and up and up? Just automate your email and SMS campaigns with OmniSend. Set it up once, then sit back and watch the sales roll in while you snooze. Oh, you're still awake? Then give OmniSend a try and start getting sales so steady, they'll definitely put you to sleep. OmniSend, your.omnisend.com/unofficial Shopify podcast. My friends, have you ever had a favorite pair of sunglasses? I certainly have. And when you have a really good pair of sunglasses, maybe you can't find them again, they don't make them anymore. Maybe they were just expensive and you certainly don't want to lose them. Like the time I left a pair of Ray-Bans on the counter at a Walgreens. But I got a favorite pair of sunglasses that I got from someone who was on the show years ago. They sent them to me. I lost them in the ocean. Then I found them. Oh my gosh. Then I scratched them. Then I dropped them on my bike and I scratched. I'm still wearing these scratched up glasses because I am too cheap to replace them, but I love them and I wish the lenses weren't scratched. Did you know that there are replacement lens product companies out there? And we're going to talk to one who is on Shopify and has built through bootstrapping an incredibly successful business for people like us who have a favorite set of frames and they want to replace those lenses for whatever reason. And they're even getting into making their own sunglasses as well, I hear. Joining us today on the unofficial Shopify podcast is Brandon Dill from Fuse Lenses. And I, of course, am your host, Kurt Elster.
Check nasty.
Brandon, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kurt. I'm a big fan. I listen every day.
That's, I don't believe you, right? It's a weekly show, sir. You can't listen every day. A lot of repeats in there.
You got some catching up to do, yeah.
So, Fuse Lenses, tell me about it. What is it? What do you sell?
Fuse makes high-end replacement lenses for name brand sunglasses. So just like you mentioned, you have a pair of Ray-Bans or Oakley or Costa del Mars or even Revo. We make lenses that fit those models. So if you scratch or break them or even just want to upgrade, we have about 60 different color options for about 6,000 different models of frames and growing.
Man, it is dangerous for me to be able to customize or personalize things because I'm one of those unfortunate do-it-yourselfers who believes you don't own something until you've customized it. You just opened up a world of sunglass options to me. This is very dangerous for my pocketbook. How long has this business been around? When did it start?
We started about 2012 out of my garage and just a little lens cutting machine. And it's grown now to what we have 39 employees now. So we've been growing since 2012, trying to get the word out.
You said, with just a little lens cutting machine. I don't even know what a lens cutting machine is. I didn't know such a thing existed. How do you end up cutting replacement sunglass lenses? How does in your garage, how does this occur?
So my father was the first lab manager of a giant big box retailer store, that you would go to get your eyeglasses from. So I kind of grew up in that industry and I was running a wholesale lab that makes prescription glasses. So the lens cutting machines are called lens edgers. So I know all about this equipment. I was running this lab and my next door neighbor had a pair of sunglasses that had scratched lenses that he wanted to replace the sunglasses. That I did not have an account for. I couldn't get that brand for him. So I just put new lenses in, non-prescription lenses, which is way easier than prescription lenses, by the way. He's a firefighter. He took that pair of sunglasses with the new lenses in them to his fire station. And the next day I had 5 orders. I had people calling up like, I've got a drawer full of sunglasses that need new lenses. So I originally was planning on doing this business with my boss who owned the company, for his company. And he didn't want to get into the business of selling stuff on eBay. So he let me do it on my own and we just kind of started there.
Give me an idea of the scale here. How big or successful is this business today?
Well, so we started out doing about two pairs a week. Right now we're doing about 1500 pairs a day. So, and peak season. So we're very seasonal, as you can imagine. I think most people start getting really busy this time of year. We start getting really slow. But yeah, so we're going to hit eight figures this year, probably next year for sure.
What's a typical pair of replacement lenses cost? I know there's a range.
Yes. On average, we're averaging about $50 on our average order value, $55. Just the pair of lenses alone, we start at 20 and our high end goes up to 60.
At peak, you're doing 1500 a day, 50 average. That's $2.25 million a month. That's my napkin math.
Yeah, we get pretty busy in the summer.
Jeez, that's quite the business. So is your old boss kicking himself?
Actually, I have a really good relationship with him. I was worried about that. I gave him a year's notice before we left. We were doing $1 million in revenue when I was like, hey, remember that little side business I started? I need to put more energy into that. And I gave him a year's notice. So backed out, 6 months full time and then kind of 3 days a week after that. So I made sure he was set up very well. And he's actually a neighbor. His building is right down the street from mine.
So what's the moment where you knew this was going to work, or like, hey, we're going to take this, this is going to be my full-time gig? Is there a moment where you recognize that?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. I don't know. I'm kind of blissfully ignorant about stuff like that. I just kind of move forward. There's no, like my girlfriend at the time, we had five employees. I was still working full-time for my boss, and she walked into my building to pick something up, and she'd never been there. It was like, this is a real business. You have like a real business here. There's like people working in here. This is crazy. That was probably the first time I ever thought of it as even a business and not just like a side hustle. But I had like
five people working for you.
Yeah,
takes someone else telling you.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there a moment where you doubted it? You didn't think it would work?
No, that's that ignorance again, I think. No, I've tried to start a bunch of different stuff throughout my life that I just kind of felt was like maybe too hard or too not worth the effort. Like I did some duplex property management for a little bit, and that was just like a lot of, I don't know, it wasn't me. This just always felt like this is where I belong. This is what I should be doing. I feel like I really got lucky stumbling into this.
Yeah, I have friends who own rental property. I'm like, that seems like a nightmare. Yeah, I'm sure it's a good business. That's not for me. So you started cutting lenses by yourself in your garage. You have family experience doing this. So we have an edge here, an unfair advantage in that this was not unfamiliar to you. And pretty soon you're going to do it yourself. And then it's still your side hustle, but you got five employees. Today, how big is that team?
Today we have 39 employees. We do everything in-house, from marketing to web dev, customer service, to manufacturing. And part of our tactical advantage, also not on purpose, is that we manufacture in-house, where we have a couple of competitors. We have one big competitor that's about the same size as us, and everybody else is way below us. They order inventory from China, pre-cut, stock it, and then just ship it off a shelf. We're actually manufacturing, so that gives us a lot more opportunity to add more shapes. Like if you have a frame we don't have in stock, we can have you send that frame in to us where we can cut them to fit and send back out to you.
You offered that to me.
Yeah.
I had three pairs of sunglasses that were like, they're not Oakley's, they're Revo's, much smaller brand. And you're like, oh yeah, we have replacements for one of those. The other two, send it to us. We'll make it for you. I couldn't believe it. Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah. Our competitors don't have that ability because they're not manufacturing in-house. So that allows us to store, like I'll be storing those Revo shapes in for future purchasers. So if somebody else down the line has that frame that needs lenses, we'll have it on file.
And so, all right, we're up to 39 employees now. What are the first roles you hired for?
The first role I hired for was I had a buddy building websites on flat HTML.
A little front page action?
Yeah, yeah.
Dreamweaver.
It's an old guy, but he's the only person I knew that knew how to build websites. I hired him to cut lenses for us in my garage because I knew one day we're going to want a website. We were just selling on eBay and Amazon at the time. And I was uploading those, manually one at a time. And I hired him because I knew I'd need the web help. 3 months later, as soon as I hired him, that opened me up to put more frame lens colors up, and we started getting more sales. I could focus more on like the product and customer service, and we started getting more sales. I hired somebody else to cut lenses, and I moved him into initially just uploading spreadsheets to Amazon and things like that, and then building our website. So kind of, he was our first employee, was a web developer we hired to cut lenses.
Did he have lens cutting experience?
No, I trained him.
All right. Eventually you're going to be doing web development. First, you need to cut these lenses. So as you began scaling that business, you know, and adding more and more people, any early missteps, any times you went, we almost derailed this thing here?
Yeah, this is still a problem for us because we're seasonal. The first couple of years in actual business, like where I was actually tracking numbers and like, you know, treating it like a business, it was just month over month growth nonstop because, I mean, even to a point today, a lot of people don't know this exists, but back then, I mean, nobody was doing it. Like, there was no frame companies didn't know it existed.
I didn't know this existed until you reached out to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was month over month growth. We're profitable. We profit on the first sale, because we bootstrap. So, I remember we hit our first season and I was just like looking at these numbers. I'm like, we're going to run out of cash. Like, how are we profitable and going to run out of cash? So it was like a lesson in cash flow and seasonality. That was probably about 4 years in when we first hit seasonality. And now from then on, it's been this juggle of like, you know, kind of make the nut in the summer and save up for the winter. You know, it's,
cash flow for e-commerce businesses. I mean, cash flow is necessary. It's the lifeblood of any business, but you're a U.S. manufacturer, you're bootstrapped, you've got a huge catalog, right? There is cash flow is a bigger deal for you than some other e-com brands for sure. And you've got seasonality on top of it. Cash flow wise, this is a tough business. How do you resolve it? Is it just planning and forecasting and, you know, crossing your fingers?
Yep. I think ignorance is the theme here, for me.
I think you're humble. A lot of it, you're like, well, I stumbled into this and, I didn't really know what I was doing. And, you know, I just kind of thought maybe I'd succeed. And my girlfriend mentioned that I actually have a business. It's because I'm ignorant. It's because you're humble, right? I think that's more accurate as to what's going on here. And certainly you're very successful.
Well, I know that I don't know much. And so like, I'm constantly looking for, and we teach the whole team here this same thing, like just constantly look for ways to improve. We want to get better. But yeah, it was forecasting. I had no idea what forecasting was or how to do that. I couldn't understand how my competitors could forecast what inventory they would sell, like had to, in order to order them pre-cut from overseas and stock them, like they would know what lenses and what colors would sell in what days and months and stuff. So now I forecast 2 years in advance. I've kind of worked on some spreadsheet and thought I was a genius. I'm like, man, I figured this all out. I figured out this forecasting. And I showed up a buddy of mine who's a CFO. He's like, yeah, that's how you do it.
So what's the secret? Because I get this question all the time. It's like, how do you know? How do you forecast?
I do an average of the last 3 month trend with year over year comparison. So like I have like right now about 8 years worth of comparisons, and I take out anomalies like, you know, COVID, March and COVID was like, I don't use that. But I just take the average of the previous 3 months for 3 to 5 years in the past to kind of see what this, because we have seasonality in lens colors also. We get a lot less mirror coating colors in the winter than we do in the summer. So I kind of follow the trends and historical data on years, and I can forecast out my month by month I could go a lot longer than 2 years. I just do 2 years like that. So I know what lenses to order and what colors and what to have on the shelves ready to go. We even hire based off of that. Like, how many people do we need next? Like, we're talking about who we need to hire in February for next summer.
And do you find it fairly accurate?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a living sheet. I'm doing it on Excel, which is crazy, but it's a living sheet. So like, as financials come in for the previous month, the whole sheet will change, but it's pretty accurate. Yeah.
That's super cool. Also nice that I finally got a concise, legitimate answer to the question, how do you forecast cash flow? It wasn't a 40-minute episode that kind of danced around the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Ever wake up to customers canceling orders? Maybe they said, I shouldn't shop when I'm high. This was a gift. We broke up. Those are all real customer quotes. And they're all a real hassle for your customer and you. Why should the customer have to ask you to edit their order for them? What if they could do it themselves? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, you can empower your customers to make their own changes through a self-service portal. Cleverific is designed to reduce customer support tickets, ship orders faster, and even reduce returns and lost packages. Don't just take our word for it. Menswear retailer Peter Manning New York cut their order support queries by 99% with Cleverific, and they're not alone. Exclusively, for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast, get 50% off Cleverific's Pro plan, now just $49 a month, giving you full access to everything Cleverific has to offer. Just go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use the promo code KURT50, that's K-R-U-T 50, at checkout to claim your discount. Take control with Cleverific and watch your customer support tickets plummet, shipping speeds increase, and package returns decrease. And all of that means happier customers. You're on Shopify now. You weren't always. You were on Magento. And then originally this was just static HTML. So we go static HTML site, which, you know, years ago that part made sense. Magento. Now you're on Shopify. What made Shopify the better choice for you? Why leave Magento?
Well, so we were, I guess it helps to go back to the static HTML. The static HTML was non-scalable, especially like we have 600,000 SKUs or something like that. And so we have these product components like a blue lens. If that blue lens goes out of stock, we were going on manually 6,000 listings and removing inventory from that. So we switched over to Magento, honestly, because one of our competitors was on there. It took us 18 months to build it out. I mean, over $100,000 using an outside agency. And we have web developers on staff here, but we needed outside agency help. And it was so slow. It was just because we needed so much help, it just took us so much time to be able to move and change. Like, hey, I want to change the prices, or I want to add a lens color, or I want to add a shape. It was just, you know, it took so long, weeks to add a lens shape. And I need that to happen in like 15 minutes. I can't wait weeks. And so we ran Magento for like 3 months. So it took 18 months to build. We ran it for about 3 months. I had a year left on the contract and I cut it off, switched over to Shopify. Shopify looked like they had, I was actually personally trying to build it myself because my web developer didn't think it would be possible to put our catalog on Shopify. So I was trying to do it on the free, I think it was a free Shopify account at the time. And I kept failing uploads because I had huge amounts of uploads I was trying to upload in. And somebody from Shopify Plus reached out and was like, hey, we see what you're doing here and it keeps freezing the system, but like, we can help you with Shopify Plus. So we made the switch.
Can you stop uploading 500,000 SKUs?
Yeah, like once a day I'm contacting them like, hey, can you unstick my account? I'm frozen again. So we switched over.
You're hitting the API rate limits.
Yeah. So we switched over, got Shopify built in about 3 months. It was like record speed. And I just paid for the rest of the Magento, even though I wasn't using it. And immediately, like, I saw an immediate increase in revenue, increase in conversion rate. It's night and day. It was a huge pivotal point for us.
That's what we like to hear. Hindsight being 2020, the migration to Shopify, obviously a big win for you. You have a complex site, right? Shopify certainly cannot be the perfect solution across the board. Anything that didn't meet your needs that needed workarounds? There's always something.
Yeah. We're very custom. So like I was kind of liken it to like custom woodworking. Like we have components, like I'll have a lens blank that I can cut to 6,000 shapes, but I inventory the blank, not the shape, because the shape is just a non-inventory. It's a shape. It's a non-inventory item. And so there's a lot of options for the customers and a lot of variations. I don't know what the variation limit is on Shopify right now, but it's not 80, you know.
100, it's 100 variants is the limit. And then you could go, I think, up to 250.
Okay.
In the future, or a little more complicated.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. So we have lots of different colors on lots of different tiers on lots of different lens shapes that also come in multiple sizes. So it gets, when you compound that, it gets to a lot of variance. And we, at the time, Shopify, I can't remember what they called it, but Shopify had people that helped us break the code and help us build that code out. I don't think they do that anymore. I'm not sure.
It could have been a launch engineer. I mean, they have, we were on a call yesterday with somebody from Shopify who was, they were going to scope out a shipping issue that we were struggling with on a Shopify Plus store. So yeah, I don't know what titles we use for these things anymore, but there's assistance out there at times.
Yeah, so we used a Shopify expert that worked with us directly for those 3 months with our web team to build out solutions. And you know, we mainly our product page is the more complicated of the pages. But yeah, it's definitely the right solution for us right now.
Isn't your site headless?
No.
No, not a headless site?
No.
Sweet. So it's like a really customization heavy product. And so on here, I'm jumping through here. I imagine one of the struggles here is getting people to order the right thing. Because immediately like, oh, I just want to go get Wayfarers. Well, there are so many variations of Wayfarer. The size, the style, and then I got to pick my, you know, which lens. How do you deal with it? I mean, this seems like a nightmare.
From the beginning, I mean, the reason the business is even built is because a customer needed it, you know? So like our whole ecosystem revolves around a customer's needs. So even the pricing builds in enough for us to, no questions asked, we'll replace it. You know, we customer making a mistake on their frame size or shape is completely understandable. Most people don't know there's 12 different aviators that Ray-Ban makes, and those all come in three sizes each. You know, it can get complicated. We try and do as much as we can to explain how to read what frame you have on our site without cluttering up and confusing the pages. But overall, we don't have a crazy return rate, and we stand behind every single sale. No questions asked. If a customer orders the wrong pair of lenses, we send the new ones out. We verify what they are for them, you know, via email or chat or whatever. And we mail the new ones out before they even send the old ones back. Like we try and make it right. Yeah.
What's nice though about the product is I'm guessing these are mostly like polycarbonate lenses. So you could ship them fairly flat and not, you know, they're lighter weight and they're going to be fairly, you know, break resistant. It's not like sending glass bottles in the mail anyway. So one, certainly an advantage there on shipping for this product category. Well, speaking of that product page, you do any split testing?
Yes, but I would need some web developers from my team to come in here and explain that. I'm pretty sure it's Google Tag Manager. We do a lot of split testing with that. And to be honest, like we test a lot. We never see anything that just like blows the doors off. Like
that's the reality of a lot of split testing. It's like quite incremental, or you discover how little small changes make a difference, unless you get really lucky where it's like, oh, that was a thing that was like functionally broken. And it probably speaks to just you're doing a good job.
Well, yeah. And, but you know, like our nature is to always change and always try and improve. It's like, we're actually trying to tone that down a bit and kind of make more of a process that makes it harder for us to just be like, hey, let's just change the color of the add to cart button, you know, cause it's just time and effort for usually not a ton of reward.
So with a site like this, you know, that's doing impressive numbers and you've bootstrapped things here. What were some of the marketing strategies or channels that have been effective over the years?
Yeah. So our biggest problem is education. You know, like you said, you didn't know this existed. Industry, you know, optical industry, people don't know this exists. So it's a lot of top of funnel, which is very expensive. Probably one of the biggest mistakes I made was assuming that Facebook ads didn't work back in 2012 when they really worked well. But so it's a lot of Facebook ads for us, a lot of Meta. We do Google, of course, we play that game too. But Meta's the one that works for us. And we find for us that it's, you know, the organic kind of walkthroughs. This is how it's made. A lot of our ads are just me walking through the lab. Lab is what we call where we make the lenses, the manufacturing place. Walking through the lab, showing how we make a pair of lenses for a customer's frame, you know, and those hit really well. And then you know, we use like our repeat rate's high. We're about 30% repeat. So, you know, Klaviyo has been great for getting our campaigns and flows out there. But yeah, top of funnel has been huge for us.
So did you say you missed out on some early Facebook advertising when it was a lot cheaper 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think so. We did pretty well. We just started advertising on Meta in like 2019, and then COVID hit and ads started really working again. But even last year, we noticed some huge drop-offs in Meta, like increases in cost. And I think it's beneficial for us a little bit too with our Meta ads, in that like I think most D2C brands perform better in the winter, where like their ads get more expensive in the winter, where ours are perform better in the summer. So we're maybe not competing on the same landscape. But
interesting. So yeah, that seasonality works for you?
Yeah, I think for ads it does.
It's so like marketing channels right now, it sounds like Meta, Facebook, Instagram's working well for you. Do you ever try TikTok?
So we had a video go viral, a video of me walking around the lab go viral on TikTok. We got like 3 million views in about 2 days, and it generated $250,000 in those couple of days on an organic video. So that was when TikTok first launched an advertising platform. And we were like, if you know how like on TikTok, you can look up like top advertisers and what their ads look like. We were the top four ads. Like there, nobody was advertising on TikTok. This is like 4 years ago or something. And we rode that wave. It started outperforming Meta. We were pulling spend from Meta. I think there's some cannibalization there, but we pulled some spend from Meta, and now we actually just removed all spend from TikTok. It stopped kind of working, or maybe got too competitive, stopped working as well for us.
Well, it seems like the stuff that's successful in TikTok tends to have a lower average order value and tends to be real impulse purchase focused. So I could see like replacement lenses at starting at $50 not necessarily being a good fit for that TikTok audience. And sure, that'll probably change over time. But you sell sunglasses too. Depending on like what the price point is, or if there's like some novelty to them, that would probably do better. I'm speculating. I've never run a TikTok ad in my life.
Yeah, we're trying to get on Shop. We've been having some problems with that, just from some like.
I was going to ask you about Shop.
Yeah, I think ads would be. I think they kind of favor stores with Shop. But I think you're right. I think like a lot of the stuff you're buying on TikTok right now is kind of like that Temu type of
Temu
product. But that should change. And yeah, I mean, our sunglasses would open us up to be able to create ads that needed less education. I mean, everybody knows what sunglasses are. That is in the future.
You're thinking about getting onto the Shop sales channel, but I imagine because of like all the product options, the lenses won't work, but you could probably get the sunglasses to work.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have some account setup issues. Like my marketing director is the admin on the Shopify or the TikTok account. And I'm obviously the admin on Shopify. So like, they're not allowing us to connect the shops. There's some like little things like that
when I have to troubleshoot sales channels for people, marketing pixels, that's the stuff where I'm like, oh no, here we go. Because it's never straightforward. And trying to get support from anybody, you know, we're just like pointing fingers at each other. But all right, so of these marketing channels, I'd have to believe that word of mouth is probably the actual big winner here.
Yeah, I mean, word of mouth, organic search, you know, we don't have a ton of competition. So if you're Google searching replacement lenses for Oakley, like there's like three of us that do it, and you know, we're the biggest. So, you know, it kind of comes up. We've been doing it for a really long time. And yeah, word of mouth is huge. It's hard to know what our customer lifetime value. I don't know how anybody knows what their customer lifetime value is, to be honest, but you know, if you have a pair of sunglasses that you replace lenses in, and you have a friend that has scratched lenses, it's hard not to say something, you know? So it's a good product to spread the word about.
I love that it's like cheap sunglasses. If you scratch them, you don't care, and maybe you replace them. Expensive sunglasses, you scratch them, you care, and then you're going to keep wearing them anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like why if you're in a good pair of sunglasses, what are you going to spend? $100, $200? You could go wild, get up to 300. If replacement lenses, you know, and they're good, like let's say I'm spending those Revos I loved my Revos because those are my first non like Ray-Bans. And I went, oh, the quality and the optics, these lenses, this is different. This is better. I like this. The unofficial Shopify podcast is sponsored in part by Zipify, and they've got the ugly truth about direct-to-consumer sales to share with you. And spoiler, it's really ugly. 82% of the people who buy from your store once will never buy from you again, and there's nothing you could do to win them back. That's why you need to get as much revenue as you can from each order. And that's where OneClick Upsell comes in. OneClick Upsell is a Shopify app that offers your customer upsells and cross-sells with every purchase, and it can increase your average order value by 15%. With OneClick Upsell, you can add AI-powered upsell funnels to every product on your store in just 3 clicks, including your product pages, shopping cart, checkout, thank you page, and even on the shop app, so you earn extra revenue automatically. OneClick Upsell is already the number one choice for 15,000 Shopify stores. And guess what? It's made merchants like you an extra $750 million. So don't miss out on another dollar in free upsell revenue. Try OneClick Upsell today and start making 10 to 15% more from every customer today. Go to zipify.com/Kurt to start your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. Tell me about that lens technology that you have, because you sent me your glasses. I put them on and I couldn't believe that they magically made colors brighter.
Yeah. So we poll customers on this, what they consider to be quality and lenses. And 65% of our customers think polarized means quality. And you can buy some really cheap.
I can get that at the gas station.
Yeah. You can buy some cheap polarized lenses. Polarized blocks glare. Of course we have polarized lenses. And then there's optical clarity. We have the top four polycarbonate, the top clarity you can get in polycarbonate lenses. It's as good as it gets. It's anything you're going to get from an Oakley or, you know, it's the same quality. Then there's scratch resistance and durability. I'm not going to get myself in a lawsuit and say this, but we test our lenses in-house, and our lenses test 3 times more durable than most big sunglass brands lenses do. 3 times more durable. And we also have this proprietary color enhancing technology that filters light at certain wavelengths to brighten up colors. A lot of big players do this.
It really works. It's cool.
Yeah, it needed to for us. Like, as we've been developing these lenses for about 5 years, and you know, you could measure this stuff on like a spectrophotometer that measures wavelengths of light. You could see it functioning, but when you put them on, it was like, to the average user, I don't know that they would have noticed a difference. So it needed to be something when you put on, you're like, oh wow, like these are crazy. And so we have our AMP line of lenses has all of these features, the polarized durability with the color enhancing technology that actually adds more clarity. These AMP lenses are the clearest lenses on the market are glass typically, but because these our AMP lenses are enhancing color, they actually effectively add clarity, making them on a tool that measures clarity, making them more clear than glass.
So it's cool as hell.
It's pretty cool technology. And right now it's exclusive to us. I argue it's the best technology on the market for sunglass lenses. I'm sure some big dogs will come out with something better here soon. But you know, for now, I think we have the best lenses.
You gifted me 3 pairs of these lenses and I was out of town. I came home. My wife had already stolen 1 pair. She's like, these are mine. She's like, these are great. She loved them. She's wearing them. And then I said, all right, I'll try these. And I was wearing them on my bike and it's fall. And I was like, wow, it's so pretty out. And then I took them off and I realized, oh my gosh, it's the glasses. The sunglasses, like the leaves just looked incredible.
We want to find some study or something somewhere that can prove that these are improving your mood somehow. Cause like it just makes everything brighter and nicer out.
It's plausible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think plausible. The big buzzy thing for the last 18 months, of course, has been AI, generative AI. Any AI stories you got for us? And you could just be like, no, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, technically, our color enhancing lenses were developed with AI. So we work with a company that develops this color. Like, we're not colorimetrists here or anything. These guys are like scientists. And they took a very popular color enhancing lens and stuck it into a spectrophotometer that was hooked up to an AI machine, said, hey, like that lens didn't pass certain FDA requirements, like yellow light, traffic lights. It didn't pass. So we're like, Let's make a lens that enhances colors, that is less harsh on yellow and will pass FDA standards on, you know, on these factors, and it spit out this curve, you know, a color curve, a wavelength, and went to work matching colors to filter out lights that gave us that curve. And so that is really what the proprietary technology is. It was developed by AI. I mean,
that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Am I wearing, do I have AI sunglasses? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, technically AI developed sunglasses. Yeah.
Yeah. Move over those Ray-Ban Meta glasses.
Yep. Yep. Cut by humans, but you know.
Okay. So what, in that Shopify store, any apps or features that you're like, these are, we can't live without these?
Yeah. I would say Klaviyo is probably my favorite.
It probably drives a lot of sales for you.
Tons. It's 20 to 30% of our revenue. It's so big. And we were on MailChimp before. And I just remember thinking like, God, I'm going to pay how much for a mail program? And it's just worth every penny. We love that. We use Attentive for SMS. That's also very, very good. You know, I'm not as into the apps these days, but we have a whole bunch of them.
I mean, what you rattled off were two moneymakers.
Yeah.
Do you know what you use for reviews?
Oh, man, we changed that a bunch. Okendo, I think.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gone through Yotpo, Smile. We went through a few.
What's next for Fuse Lenses? You're always improving. What are we working on now?
So right now, we've had sunglasses out for a few years, and we were just kind of like, let's just get our lenses on the faces of people who don't have sunglasses already. We're a lens first company. Now this last year, we focused a lot on improving the quality of those frames. So like these sunglasses you're getting from us now are the same quality that you would get from Ray-Ban or Oakley, from the frame standpoint, better on lenses. And they're under $100. So all of them, even our top of the line ones. So frames is a big push for us. And prescription is really big. We do all of these same coatings and materials and all this in prescription as well. Stuff that you cannot go into a big box store and get a prescription in, we can do. So that's another, we think there's a big opportunity there in the sport market for prescription sunglasses.
One of the things I love about you is your mindset. You've got this humility that enables you to not get stuck in your ways while you're simultaneously always looking for iterative improvement, it sounds like. What do you feel are your mindset or habits that are contributing to Fuse Lens's success?
I say we have cornerstones of employee virtues that, you know, we developed here, which if you told me this like 5 years ago, we'd be coming up with employee virtues, I would have laughed at your face. But and curiosity is the number one one. I think being curious is, it just makes the job fun. You know, never thinking that just because it worked right for the last year doesn't mean it's going to work right in the future. And I don't know, I like moving the goalposts. There's no touchdowns here. We're moving the goalposts every day. So it just makes the game fun to play, I think.
Looking back, are there any early mistakes you would go back and change if you could?
I would go back and advertise on Facebook in 2012. I know that.
I think a lot of us are like, man, 2012, like here's the stocks I would buy. And, you know, I'd be buying Tesla and Nvidia, and we'd be advertising on Facebook like crazy. We didn't know how good we had it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, like we sponsored race car drivers 1 year, and that was a big bust. All we did was spend money. It literally made us nothing. But like that might work for some brands. So I would hate to encourage somebody not to do that, but it didn't work for us. And we learned from it.
Yeah. You know, it depends on its product market fit.
Yep.
That can work for somebody else for sure.
Exactly.
Any piece of advice you wish you'd received early on, or your advice for other Shopify entrepreneurs early in their experience?
Yeah, I say know your numbers. Like that forecasting, that you know, like I said, I spend a lot of my day with my head in a spreadsheet. It's using past data to kind of tell the future, and it helps me make better decisions for growth. It helps me know where to put money and focus, especially like you mentioned earlier, we have to juggle advertising, manufacturing, payroll, cost of goods. You know, we're ordering cost of goods 6 months in advance. It's hard to juggle all of that. So knowing what the future looks like potentially, as accurately as possible, is really important. for any business, I think.
I heard a survey that said it was like 1 in 3 U.S. manufacturers was ordering additional stock now to head off costs on potential tariffs in the future. Not that they're guaranteed, you know, but what if? Is it a consideration for you?
I don't know that we have the runway to do that, but we are starting tomorrow talking with our partners, our vendors about how do we mitigate or, you know, handle these tariffs, because there were 25% tariffs on all incoming goods for us, you know, the previous term. So it was, we're used to seeing it and we expect it fully to come again, but you know, it's part of the business, I guess.
So not something that's new to you.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been there.
What do you think is one thing people get wrong, either about, you know, entrepreneurship, Shopify, or sunglass lenses? You pick, you got the floor to correct one piece of misinformation.
Easy. Like, everyone thinks entrepreneurship is sexy. They think it's like, oh man, living the dream is, I have a 9-to-5 job. I created
it's a
9-to-5 job here, man. And it is not, I'm here in the office 9-to-5 and I think about it nonstop. My poor wife is like, you know, I'm up at night in the slow season. I'm up at night in the busy season. It never stops. I love it. I'm built for this. I love it. But it's not for everyone. And then for replacement lenses, I would say like our biggest hurdle is convincing people that these are not cheap replacement lenses. These are the same or better quality than what you're used to wearing in your expensive sunglasses. It is the difference.
That was my fear. I was like, I'm going to try these, but you know, I don't know. And yeah, of course, you know, I was quite impressed as we discovered. So thank you for gifting me those. I greatly appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
If someone else wanted to get their own replacement lenses, where do they go?
You go to fuselenses.com, FUSELenses.com. And we're on all the social outlets too. You know, you can see us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all that stuff.
Brandon Deal, Fuse Lenses, thank you so much. I got to go put these glasses on and just start like staring at various colored things.
Future's bright, Kurt. Thank you.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.